This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
It's brought to you today by Slomans.
Yeah.
I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
One person compared me to a potato.
I'd like to say good evening to Don.
The second thing Marconi invented was turn your radio down.
And I'd like to say good evening to myself.
Guess what I ate during the commercial?
Don, I got to tell you, I think that's around.
Yes.
I think we're going to hear from that.
Well, let's ask the commish.
Andrew, you imagine that we will be seeing that drop in Drop Madness?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a particularly high seed, but you could get in, I think.
Wow, that's...
Wow, he's underselling it.
I think so. Let's hear it one more time, Anthony.
Guess what I ate during the commercial?
To me, Don, it's the breakdown. It's the slow breakdown. I'm talking about choking as I choke.
Well, we all know. Some great drops came from the peanut.
Yeah.
He just keeps making them, Peter. He just keeps making them.
I know. He can't stop.
Well, the whole, I wish you loved the sport as much as I do. That came from the peanut.
It's the damn nuts.
How many are there? I wish you loved the sport like I do.
There's at least two or three.
If you followed hockey, Eli would never do an interview with GQ. Just talking about getting the peanuts again.
I wish you loved the sport. That's like five.
You have to realize that in hockey.
So.
Think about how much impact nuts have had on this show.
So you almost have to be a sponsor.
How do we not have a Planters deal?
Well, you need sales to do that.
You know what? I'm going to lay out here. You guys want to hear from Gerard Gallant?
Why not?
He was not happy about Domi's cheap shot yesterday. Let's hear the Ranger coach talking after the win.
No, I wasn't happy with the at the end of the game that they initiated. You know, we didn't do that when the games were close. We put, you know, they put their guys on. That's fine. If they want to play like that, we got the guys that can match up. I don't like it at the end of the game. The game's over. You know, we still got four games to go with those guys. I mean, they're not sending any message. We got the guy that can handle all their guys if we want to. We didn't do it like that, but Domi took a cheap shot of their defenseman, and you got a long memory in this. You think about things, and like I said, might be on the other foot someday.
Yeah, it's the right way to handle it. Do you want Lindgren, who's been suffering a lower body injury, wrestling around the ice with Domi at the end of the game? And it's really at the end of the game, right? So what are you doing?
I just can't believe Domi's still playing. He's 52 years old.
No, this is his son.
His son.
Oh.
And he's much more skilled than his dad.
He's a much better player?
Yes.
But he's still fighting runs in the family, Don?
Oh, yeah. Listen, he's taken aspects of the game. But Ty was an enforcer who had, you know, decent skills. His son is a much better offensive player, but he still has some of Dad's traits. The fans love as long as he's on your team.
Do you think that Marco's going to have any traits from you?
I think he already does.
Looks like me,
acts like me, stubborn.
Interesting.
Doesn't want to lose an argument.
Let's hear... We mentioned earlier Bart's great work on the station earlier, but Spike Lee called in to DiPietro and Rothenberg. He may never call us again after Michael and Don ripped him for his going to Brooklyn and wearing
Dodgers
jersey.
He's mad at us for being deadly accurate.
Here's Spike, okay, though.
What's your take on the beat between Donaldson and...
Here's Spike Lee, though, on DiPietro and Rothenberg, talking about the Yankee fans that were chanting Jackie yesterday.
They did, to my brother, it's disgraceful. The Jackie chant and the other stuff, it's all right to have fun, but it's getting out of hand. And I'm a Yankee fan. fans are just getting crazy. It's not just the Yankee fans, but this stuff's getting out of hand. Look, we all want our team to win, but there just has to be some type of decorum. And that Jackie chant, that hurt me.
Michael, how noticeable was that? How big a
it
thing
was? It
was
the second game, but I was watching on TV. I didn't notice it on TV. That was an ESPN game. So if it, you know, it happened, obviously, I think it's not in good taste. I agree.
See, but isn't that interesting? Don, that's another interesting thing to think about, right? That it comes off as one way. We can make the argument about how it looks with Donaldson saying it to him. But then how does it look when fans start chanting it?
Well, I think everybody has to take a second, whether it's Tim Anderson's comments about he's the next Jackie Robinson, talking about making the game fun again, to Jackie becoming a nickname for him, to the fans chanting it. Is I don't think people really get it with Jackie and why he is so important, not just to the game of baseball, but to this country. And I think it's been so long, Peter, and it's kind of been out there where Jackie has kind of fallen into a history where people need to read up and realize what he went through. I mean, again, I am not going to say that it was right for Tim to go through what he went through this weekend. But for him to compare himself to Jackie Robinson for making the game fun again, do you know what Jackie went through? What Tim went through this weekend was nothing compared to what Jackie went through on a daily basis. Death threats, the N-word said by players that he was going up against, not just the fans, but people in the league.
His own team, there were players that wanted to be traded because they didn't want to be in the same room as him.
Right. This was a time in this country where he was dehumanized, not made to feel uncomfortable, dehumanized. I think we all need to realize that Jackie Robinson is just some former baseball player that broke the color barrier. Find out what he went through and what it meant to this country, how important it was, and maybe it wouldn't be thrown around the way it's been, his name.
Well, and then also just how amazing he was as a ball player on top of it. But anyways, we have covered that a lot today, so we'll move on. You can listen to the podcast wherever you find podcasts if you want to hear us discussing it ad nauseum. But let's move on, shall we?
Please.
Tyler Herro ruled out for Game 4. Oof. Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry questionable.
They need a hero.
Hey, Don, you know what that means?
What does that mean?
It means I headed over to FanDuel and I threw some money on the Boston Celtics tonight.
That's a good move. It's worked for
you
so far.
If we get pushes, we get pushes.
Is this
hardwood?
It's hardwood. It's hardwood. It's a lock. I officially locked it.
Love
and
it.
I've been pretty decent with my hardwood.
Peter Rosenberg's hardwood pick of the night.
Yeah, I'm locking it in. Now, listen, I was terrible yesterday because I liked Dallas to cover yesterday, and boy, did they not cover. In fact, let's hear the play-by-play of maybe the worst posterization in the history of basketball.
Brunson defends, snaps it outside to Wiggins. Goes by Bullock.
Oh!
Drops the sledgehammer.
But they're going to
wipe it away.
They called an offensive foul. Wow.
See,
a lot of
a
steppage.
Couple things. Incredible steppage, number one. Number two, it's not a posterized. It didn't exist.
No. It was they overturned it.
What do you mean they overturned it?
They pulled the foul off the board.
Really?
Yes.
Well, then he was posterized.
Yeah. Let's hear from Doncic after the game.
I mean, I got hit a little bit, but that was impressive. I'm not going to lie. I saw the video again. I was like, oof. That was pretty incredible. You know? I wish I had those bunnies.
I respect it. Don, have you seen it yet?
I have not seen it, no.
Okay. Anthony, will you send Don a link of this? You have to see it. It's... Wiggins jumped from, just inside the free throw line, like a step inside the free throw line, and he just literally threw the ball through the net. Doncic goes down. He tried to, feign an injury, but, he acted like he got hit in the face and it kind of hurt. Maybe he got a little tapped, but it was iconic. And now, of course, Dallas loses their first game on their home floor, and they find themselves on the brink of elimination.
I will tell you this, Peter, and watching the parts of the last two games, I don't know how much you could put on Doncic. They don't have that much talent on the Mavs. I mean, the Golden State Warriors are amazing. Their bench is amazing. I sit there and I say, Kevin Durant left this? That's how great they are. And they're developing players that are going to eventually step in and take over when Curry gets too old.
I know. I mean, they already have. It's amazing. They have retooled from a few years ago. Their last time in the finals, you remember Looney just came into his own and was becoming a player. But now you fast forward these years later and with Poole and Wiggins. Otto Porter Jr. gets in there for a few minutes. They just are special. Now, Doncic, to your point, Michael, I mean, yesterday he had 40, 11, and 3 assists. I don't know how much
more
he
can
do.
What more do you want the guy to do?
4 for 9 from 3. Oh, by the way, you guys remember what my pick was Friday for the Wood, right?
No.
Doncic over on 27.5. Nailed it.
Bang, bang!
Yeah, bang, bang is right. It's the damn nuts.
That's right.
But also, if Golden State finishes this series off tomorrow, guys, they could be hanging out for a week waiting for Boston or Miami.
It doesn't matter. They'll beat both teams.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
So it's over.
Pretty much.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay. All right.
Who won the PGA Championship, guys?
Justin somebody.
It was in a playoff.
Go ahead.
It wasn't Tiger.
Justin Thomas.
There you go. It was Justin Thomas. And, Don, the reason it's hard to remember is because isn't it interesting that when Tiger's literally withdraws because he's so bad, it's like the PGA Championship was a rumor yesterday.
See, but you're proving Don's point.
I know.
The sport doesn't exist without Tiger Woods.
I never argue that. I never argue about that.
I just wonder if Don would, you know, call the authorities if Tiger was playing in his backyard.
I think if Tiger pulled up to play in Don's backyard, I honestly think Don would watch Tiger.
And I would charge an obscene amount of money to the sycophants. I would cripple them financially.
Would you even charge usurious rates to Greenberg?
Yes, especially him. And Trey, they would have. We're talking six figures.
I think six figures is good.
So you'd call Trey and say, you're not going to believe this. Tiger Woods is playing in
right.
my backyard.
It's crazy, and it's very exclusive. I'm not allowing anybody in. You get. I will give you a lawn chair.
Okay.
Access to the first floor bathroom.
Okay.
At will, and whenever you need it, we will cook you a dinner for all 4 days. Not
okay.
lunch or breakfast, but dinner. $150,000.
Right. $250,000.
$150,000.
$150,000, and it comes with your just real quick to sum it up: lawn chair, mm-hmm. bathroom access, dinner for all 4 nights of the
right.
tournament. What if Trey wanted coffee, would you be willing to go to Dunkin' Donuts and get some?
I have a coffee machine here in the man cave he'd had access to that's got that wonderful vanilla almond milk.
What about pool access?
Yes.
See,
complete pool access.
Peter, that was smart, yeah.
All right, pool access. And the only other spectator would be Greeny.
I think if Tiger pulled up to play in Non's backyard...
So I would get $300,000 thing for $150,000, 4 days of just you, if I'm talking to Trey, just Trey and Greeny sitting in my backyard watching Tiger Woods. That's a bargain and a half.
But, Donnie, you're just glossing over the point. He called you Non.
Who did?
I think if Tiger pulled up to play in Non's backyard.
Non's backyard?
Non.
Who's Non?
I listen.
Ooh, Tiger just hit it close on 10.
I have Indian food on the brain, I suppose. I don't know.
You call our friend and coworker Non, which means nothing. You
yeah.
think he's nothing.
In my
non
opinion,
is, non
who
is
I am
delicious.
As a person is Non.
No. Don, when I said Non, I meant N-A-A-N.
What does that mean?
It's bread at an Indian restaurant. You wouldn't know because you don't eat good food. You dip it in some delicious chicken tikka masala. It's fantastic.
So all I can really do now is think about Don LaGreca in the shower.
How was, by the way, Peter, how was your date with Allie on Saturday?
Wasn't a date.
You mean how was my friend's bar mitzvah?
That you attended with another woman not named Natalie.
That I went to with my good friend Allison and my friend Tyler. It was very nice.
Okay. Did you get the gift in the hands of the kid?
The gift was received, and it was spectacular.
What'd you give him?
500.
Nice.
Wow.
Woo-hoo-hoo. And by the way, you know why?
You've really grown up.
And you know why I gave 500?
Because we embarrassed you into it.
No. Because, although I did, your guys' opinion did weigh on my mind. It's because Ben is my best friend, has been with me since we were 10 years old, okay? I know I remember when his son was born. I've known him his entire life. He deserves a great present.
So, but you gave Rothenberg's kid like $180.
No, I gave him $180. $180 was, I think, generous enough for a kid who I've met twice. And listen, am I gonna be friends with Dave in 10 years? I might be. I might never know him again. Who knows?
If either of the two of you moved on from this station, you
we
would never
talk again.
Again ever.
So Don, that's why I can't. 180 is totally appropriate.
When I finally decide that it really is truly time for me to go, do you think we'll ever be friends?
No.
Wow.
Did
wait,
you mean
you
me,
and me, Don?
Don?
No, you and Peter.
Oh, okay.
But the relationship would definitely be different. It'd be, you know, occasional text messages, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday.
With me and you?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like it is now with no show. Oh. Maybe we'd get together, maybe try to keep the Christmas thing alive. But with Peter and Dave, there'd be zero relationship.
I'm going to be friends with all of you forever.
Wait, no. I believe that I will be friends with both of you forever. Dave, I could, let me be clear, I could see myself knowing Dave for a very long time. I'm very fond of him. But I can't lock it in.
No.
I mean, DiPietro will be at my funeral crying.
No.
You don't think so?
Oh,
no.
DiPietro.
I mean,
Don,
he
goes to my funeral?
You know why he'll be there crying? To cover up the fact that he's the one who murdered him.
We'll see naked ladies.
That's why he'll be crying. No one will ever believe it was Rick.
So but why would he cry? He'd be throwing, happy then.
He's trying to throw himself into the coffin.
He cry, seriously?
Because it would be a good friend of his that would no longer be on the spinning orb. Well, he'd be in it, but he wouldn't be, you know, he'd be underneath something.
If you died of natural causes at 87.
He would cry.
No, he wouldn't.
So if somebody you love dies at old age, you don't
but
cry?
But come on, does he really love you to that point, like a family member? No. Come on.
I believe he does. Well here's a text from him. He said, I'd like to say a few words if possible.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I'm not saying he wouldn't be sad. Of course he'd be sad.
I think he would be broken.
No. If you died a natural death at 87 years old, you'd be celebrated. He'd feel bad, but he's not.
So you don't think that Roger Angel's family cried when he died?
Oh, I'm sure they cried. I'm sure they did. But do you think surviving friends of his?
Yeah.
Cried?
Of course.
No.
Well, let me say this. If you're at a funeral for someone who died of natural causes at an old age.
At 101. Yeah, Angel was 101.
It's appropriate for someone to shed tears. But, Don, I'll say this. If someone's, like, openly weeping, I'm looking back with judgment. I'm going,
wait a minute.
Relax.
First of all, when I'm at Don's funeral, when he dies of natural causes, I'd be heartbroken. I would cry because you think about what he left behind. His kids would no longer get a chance to spend time with him. If you don't cry, you're a ghoul. And Rick also said, quote, I'd like to have you stuffed and kept with me at the house.
See, that's nice. Now, that's nice.
That's morbid.
Let's go.
Don's dead because he was changing a tire and his heart exploded.
Let's hear from Justin Thomas after winning the PGA yesterday on what the win means for him.
It's hard to put into words or explain, and I really tried to think about the PGA in 17 before, and I don't remember. I mean, obviously, it's 5 years ago. It's hard to remember everything that happens 5 years ago, but I don't remember as much as I would like. This game is hard, and yeah, I hope to win many more majors in my career. You just don't know when and if it's going to happen, and it's looking up and just kind of taking it in and just trying to remember that because it was like a full body chills type of thing, and it's why I and a lot of us play the game.
So Thomas rallied from a seven-shot deficit in the final round to win, which is pretty amazing. It's Justin Thomas's second major championship. And, Don, he's a huge Alabama Crimson Tide fan.
Okay.
And he was asked if he would follow Saban's 24-hour celebration rule. What is that? Saban says you can only celebrate for 24 hours then back to work?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I got a 24-hour rule. He said this to SiriusXM. I'm not sure what Jimbo Fisher's rule is, but I guess he's got to win something first before he figures out the rule.
So he's a big fan.
He's really laying in. Now, on the Jimbo Fisher of it all, he continues to defend his recruiting and ripping the, quote, complete lies. He did an interview with KSAT. In San Antonio. He was fired up. And he fumed about what Saban said last week. Now, of course, what Saban said, A&M bought every player on their team. Made a deal for name, image, likeness.
Let's really break down, if you will, Peter, what's happening here with the NILs. So now a narrative is being set that if you do what's right by the player, you're buying said player, right? And now the narrative is going to be you're buying your players, and the only way to do it right is to take advantage of them. Is that what's being said?
That's basically how I understood it.
So we've come up with something where these players can get a little something back with their image and likeness, where they could take advantage of that. Certainly certain schools are able to do that. Now they do that. Now they're going to be pigeonholed as, oh, you're buying your players. So the ones that are accusing that are not taking advantage of the system and then going back to taking advantage of the players. Am I reading that right, or am I wrong? Andrew, am I reading that wrong?
I think you got it.
Yeah, so is that a good thing? See, because that's what's going to end up happening now. Now the feeling is going to be, why can't we do it like we always did? Why can't we get back to the old school way that it was? Because now we've got dynasties and the same schools buying the best players and winning the championship every year. And now, in like a few years, it's going to be, why can't we just get back to where we were taking advantage of the players when it was great?
The good old days.
Yeah, hey, the good old days.
Don, I have a bunch of NFL stories to
get to. I love
it,
and I would want to continue it on the other side. How about that?
So we'll do it on the other side. E&M, by the way, is brought to you tonight by Sloman's. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME to receive a free doorbell camera. With the installation of your Sloman Shield, keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME. So we'll finish up E&N on the other side, plus get to your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. Peter and Don closing it out on a Monday on 98.7 ESPN.
I'd like to have you stuffed and kept with me at the house.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
I know you're excited for this Mets lineup.
Always.
Nimmo leading off, playing center. Starling Marte. Thank you. Starling Marte. Playing right and batting second. Francisco Lindor playing short and batting third. Pete Alonso is playing first and batting cleanup. McNeil batting fifth. Six, you know who
Mark
it is.
Mark Kanha?
Yeah.
That's right, he's playing left. Seventh, Escobar. Playing third, Davis the DH. I'm not going to mess this guy's name up. Mazika. That's right. He's batting ninth. Peterson on the hill. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your Mets starting lineup brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever. With their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup, now get great offers across their full line. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com.
Do it.
As we continue into ENN, a couple of football notes that I teased. Kyler Murray skipping Cardinals OTAs.
Huh?
Yeah. Let's hear from Marcus Spears on NFL Live discussing it.
I think it's irresponsible for Kyler Murray not to show up. The last time we saw Kyler Murray on the field, it was abysmal. Him and Cliff Kingsbury need all the on-field activities that they can get in order to get going in the right direction. And you mentioned D-Hop as well. Kyler is going to have to make up for that because he has not. We've talked about your contract. We've lamented about why would you do this early. I'm not going to get into money because every guy I think that plays in the NFL deserves their money. I think the irresponsibility comes from the fact that Kyler Murray has to lead the Arizona Cardinals. And he's too young, in my opinion, of a quarterback not to partake in this based on what they are trying to do this season and how it has ended the previous 2 years of his career so far. I think it's very irresponsible for him not to be there.
Well, I can't disagree. I mean, I feel for these players and the money that they're trying to make, but it has not been a great finish to either of his first two seasons. I think there's a tremendous amount of talent there, Peter, but there's work to be done there.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I mean, without knowing every detail of the situation, I would just think, dude, remembering how last season ended, you shouldn't be skipping anything, pal.
Well, that's precisely why he wants the money now, just in case it turns out to be a situation where he's not going to be that good, that he got paid. But I'm sorry, you got to show me a little bit more at the end of the season. They had a great start to the year. They looked like the best team in the NFC last year. And by the time we got to the end of it, Peter, it was not great. Now, I still think he's a very good quarterback, but, you know, you can't put the cart before the horse here. I mean, he's right. You want to see all these players get theirs because they put their bodies on the line every single night. They play and all that, but can't put the cart before the horse. You got to show me something.
Now.
Or a little more or something.
The Washington Commanders have reportedly paid more than $100 million for property in Virginia, a possible next step in building a new stadium.
I love my Commies!
I. According to a source, the Commanders paid a little more than $100 million for approximately 200 acres.
Holy crap.
The deal was completed late last week, but has not yet been filed with Prince William County.
Okay.
They're saying this is in Woodbridge, Virginia.
Don, where is that in relation to the old place?
Well, it's about a full hour from the D.C. area.
Okay.
So who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to go? It's 23 miles from Washington, D.C. But with traffic, it will be a nightmare. They do
not ideal, but,
wrong.
You know, when you're talking about football, you know, it's once a week, eight or nine times a year. So I guess they're counting on it not being that big of a deal. If the team's good, people will go.
I mean, have you seen how many people are going right now?
Well, because the team's not good and the team's an embarrassment. But I guess he's feeling that that's all going to change with the new building. Things are looking up. I've got many. It looks like people are picking them to win the division this year.
From my parents' house in Chevy Chase, Maryland, right now to Woodbridge, Virginia, would be 43 minutes. I mean, that's not unbearable.
No. Look what Giant Jet fans have to go through. You know, I would say the majority still of Jet fans are from Nassau and Suffolk County. And look how far they have to go for their games in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And I'm sure there are Giant fans who live on Long Island or live in, you know, Central Jersey. Heck, it takes – I live in Central Jersey, Peter. It takes me, you know, about 50 minutes to get to MetLife Stadium. So hold my beer. If you live in the five boroughs, you live in Staten Island, Brooklyn, Bronx, how long do you think it takes you to get to MetLife? Right? So
– it's far.
It's – listen, would it be a problem if it was a hockey or basketball or baseball team where you're asking people to do that like every day or every other day? But for once a week, it's not a big deal. It's tough. Those play like D.C., I think L.A. to a certain extent, where your fan base is very spread out, right? It's not like, you know, you play in Boston, and so you're in – but what is this – like, unless you're going to play in actual, you know, Washington, D.C., if you're going to go to the suburbs, you're going to go out of people's way, right?
But that's what everyone wants.
But can they build something where – the Wizards and Capitals play? Can they build something near where the Nationals play?
I think they could. I think Snyder just doesn't have a lot of political cachet right now to get things done.
Well, again, the football problem is that you're talking about building something that is going to be used a handful of times a year. There's only so many bands that can play in a stadium, right? You know, so every once in a while you get the Green Days and the Rolling Stones to come and play in your, you know, 80,000 seat stadium. But otherwise, that's why the Giants and Jets had to come together. If you're going to build a stadium, you're going to want more than just one team there. You know, can you hook up with a college? Is the University of Maryland going to play there? Is there some place, you know? So if you're just going to build something for the Washington Commanders, you're looking at counting the preseason maximum 12 games without playoffs a year. So can you ask people to build you a stadium that's going to cost, you know, $1.5 billion that is just going to sit there for 330 days a year doing nothing?
It's tough. It's a tough sell. Also, at the same day that we learned that the Commanders are trying to purchase land in Virginia, a story came out in USA Today over the weekend saying that the other owners, Don, are considering and mulling over drastic options, quote, counting votes.
It's still going to be tough, Peter. I know you're rooting for it.
Listen, all I'll say is this. I wouldn't spend the $100 million yet.
I love my Commies.
Maybe, well, hey, Dan, maybe hang tight for just a minute.
Just be careful, those guys that are voting. Make sure that your backyard's all cleaned up and landscaped. All right, just make sure that you're that there's no skeletons in your closet either.
Really awful update to an awful story. Dwayne Haskins was apparently, according to the AP, legally drunk and had taken drugs before he was fatally struck by that dump truck on a Florida interstate highway last month. The Broward County Medical Examiner's Office said his blood alcohol content was 0.20. That's 2.5 times the legal limit of 0.08.
And drugs on top of it?
He had the painkiller ketamine and norketamine in his system. So
is that
awful.
Like ketamine, like what they give horses?
Yeah. That's a drug people take also. It's Special K. And his widow put out a statement asking for privacy and asking for people to wait for the investigation to be completed. She said he was a loving and dedicated husband, son, and brother. He wanted to be a father and eventually a grandfather. He was a humanitarian who loved children and animals. As a young man, he was a nationally recognized scholar athlete while in school at Maryland. And goes on to talk about his accomplishments beyond that. On behalf of Dwayne's wife, his family, and his memory, and on behalf of the truth, we respectfully request and pray for privacy, for patience, and for the public to withhold any judgment during this period while law enforcement authorities continue to investigate and conduct the important work.
See, that's smart, because it's so easy in the court of public opinion to say, well, he was drunk and high, and you know, of course that's going to happen. But that may not necessarily be why it happened.
Exactly. It may not be. That may not be the entire story here.
Right. Got to wait for the whole story. It doesn't look good. I think we can admit that. But the knee-jerk reaction is going to be, well, of course, now we know.
But maybe, hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Super Bowl champion Nick Foles off to the Colts.
Not a great look for Carson Wentz as Nick Foles comes in to clean up Carson's mess once again.
Again.
Well, he'll back up Matt Ryan, but either way, it is pretty funny. Yeah, for now. Exactly. For now. But you can't rule out that it could end up being Nick Foles at some point. That would be pretty ridiculous. The word is, after Canelo Alvarez's unanimous decision loss to Dmitry Bivol at 175 pounds, he plans to fight Gennady Golovkin for the third time next.
Great name.
Triple G, baby. So I guess we're not going to get a rematch with Bivol, either not now, I don't know about ever. And lastly, guys, Naomi Osaka ousted in the first round of the French Open. Straight sets loss to 20-year-old American Amanda Anisimova. Osaka was asked about whether the two tours decision to remove ranking points from Wimbledon would factor to her decision on whether to compete there. She said, quote, "I would love to go just to get some experience on the grass court, but I didn't even make my decision yet. But I'm leaning more towards not playing given the current circumstances."
Interesting.
That will do it for ENN on this Monday, May 23rd. Any topics that you want to cover at 1-800-919-3776. We'll close out with your calls next right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.